What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Crimson Corn Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 56.
Woo, 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 woo. We have a soundboard and I never use it.
We are the soundboard now.
I feel like I've always been just making, it didn't have to be good noises.
It's just noises. Yeah,
so we're going to do, did I tell you what today's episode was about at all?
No.
So we're starting like a mini series. I'm going to spread out between the remainder of this season into next season.
Ooh.
About dragons.
Oh, all right.
So I have a couple books and a couple things. And
is this because of the Joe Rogan thing?
What Joe Rogan thing?
I don't know. Just something. Basically, recently people have been saying, oh, and you listen to people like Joe Rogan, he thinks dragons are real.
They are. I got like 4 episodes planned about it.
You haven't heard that?
No.
Okay. That's just a thing going around like to discredit him or his show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is going to be the first one about that stuff. This is going to be like a lot of old, we're going to use Adam Benedict's book, Monsters in Print, mostly for this episode.
Great book.
Yeah, so we're going to do dragons that are recorded in newspaper articles from like the 1718 to 1900s.
Okay, sweet.
And then the next one, maybe, I have a book that I think the listener that got it is in the book, but it's Dinosaurs, Dragons, and the Bible. To talk about some of that stuff, and then we're going to do some European dragon stuff. Like I said, that those are like the 3 parts, and we're going to kind of spread it around.
Do you think they ate dragon wings like we do, like chicken wings now?
How do you know dragons had wings?
Well, they fly.
Do they?
The ones, yeah.
Or is that just modernization of romanticized pre-relics?
Game of Thrones doesn't lie. Dragons flew.
And, well,
and you know what they did? I think they may have even sprinkled some flavors of the forest on those dragon wings when they fried them up back in the day.
Real quick, 5-star review. It's from Chris RRT. Good podcast. Like the podcast. Heard you guys on the Confessionals podcast, so I thought I would check it out. Glad I did. Smiley face.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
It feels nice having you aboard.
Remember, leave a 5-star review and we'll read it on the show.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do too much front of house stuff. Live shows, we talk about on this Wednesday's episode. We go into better detail. If you want to, we have one in Arkansas. We have one in Ohio scheduled for next year. We're working on a couple others.
Check the description.
Check the description
of this episode.
Cons right now, the only thing we have signed up for 100% for next year is Frogman in March, Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival in August, Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree in October, and we're working on some other stuff. The book's available if you want it. It's on the website. It's on Amazon, all those places. Stuff I still need. I still need more hometown legends. So if you have a hometown legend, you know, cryptid, ghost, UFO, I don't care, anything in our kind of generalized sphere, you know, a crazy guy owned lions on the edge of town.
Right, yeah.
You know, anything like that. Please reach out. I know I'm starting to record some things. It's for a special thing. So if you have a hometown legend, and I've gotten a bunch of them, but I just need more. So please, guys, reach out for that.
Feed me more.
Feed me more. But yeah, so that's all that stuff. Now, before we get rocking and rolling, we have a brand new sponsor on the show. And I've worked with this group for a couple years now. I've known the guy that's done this, you know, runs the group for a couple years. And his crew, and they do some amazing stuff. So they officially sponsored the show. So it's the Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. And we'll do some fun little ad reads for them like we do for Flavors of the Forest. But this first one, we just want to kind of give you some generalized information. Basically, hunting, fishing, education, you want to get your kids outdoors, you basically sign them up for it. They meet, it varies, but they do meetings. The kids get a bunch of stuff. A lot of times they're donated from tackle companies, from hunting groups. Tosh is the guy that runs it. He's been on the show a couple times. You've tangentially heard me talk about Tosh. It's an amazing group. It's great for kids and not official stuff yet, but I know they're branching out into some other programs through the next year as well, which as that comes up, we'll release, you know, to you guys. So you can check out, there'll be in the link below, Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. That's the Facebook page. That's the best way to reach out to them. If you want to donate stuff to them for the kids, it goes to a great cause. I know I think they got a boat donated to them last year.
Oh,
wow. They were taking turns out with the kids. And
that's awesome.
The whole group does amazing work. I've worked with them. I do the ice safety course every year with them. Mainly to teach kids, because the only way you can save yourself from ice fishing if you fall through is self-rescue.
Yeah, you're by yourself.
You cannot, and it's not easy. It is easier for, I think it's easier for a kid to do it than me being 300 pounds.
Probably.
But it's, you can die falling through the ice, or you can save yourself very easily as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you, it's knowledge. It's the big difference. The kids have all done great. We practice sliding on our bellies. We practice the rolling. We do all that fun stuff. I love doing anything, you know, to help kids out and make them safer. Because when I started, my dad knew a little bit, but nothing really.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like my dad wasn't there, but we didn't know nothing. You know, we were guessing. I didn't know what a spud bar was. I didn't know. We took a log. I'm not joking. We took a log and would slam it on the ice and see if it broke and keep walking.
That's one way to do it.
We didn't know. Yeah. Right? We didn't know. So teaching ice safety with these kids is, you know, I guess a wonderful thing, because it makes me feel better that, they know how to check if ice is good or not, and then they know how to self-rescue if they need
right.
it, or how to rescue somebody else. We talk about those things, too, about armpits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You throw the rope. Like. So, yeah, Future Anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio, links below. You want to get your kids involved? Get them involved.
Get them out in nature.
You can sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing. Like I said, they walk away with tons of tackle.
Yeah.
Remember when we did ice fishing safety last year? I don't remember. I think it was the Indian Lake Pro Bass and maybe Mike's Bait and Tackle at Indian Lake had donated like picks and shoe cleats and for all the kids, so all the safety gear.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So like every kid left with their full safety get up.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me feel better, because that's, you know me, I don't let anybody on the ice. You don't go fishing with me if you don't have ice picks.
Oh, gotcha. Yep.
I don't, because it's,
I can attest.
It's just they cost $5.
There's no reason not to have it.
And that's the only way you're going to save yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to have super nice ones. I think that some of the fancier ones don't work as well as like the $10 pairs.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's it. Like I said, in the future, we'll do some, the 15-second, like little ad reads, we'll make them fun and everything like that. But for this first one, we just kind of wanted to talk about
the future,
who the people are, yep. And how we're very excited to work with them. So, anything to do with kids is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anything to add?
Oh, it sounds like a great program. Glad to be a part of it.
Yep. All right. So you ready for some dragons?
Yeah, let's get into what these dragons are all about.
All right. So we're going to go over some of the stories. I'm going to read you the newspaper article and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Now, when I say dragon, what do you think?
I mean, obviously, the flying, fire-breathing King George fighting, living in a cave on a mountaintop.
That comes up in third episode of this, the King George dragon.
See?
It did not look like what you think it looked like.
That's, in the book I saw, read, it looked like that.
Yeah, I'm saying you're wrong.
I know.
But in the original account, it was much more terrestrial-based. Mm. Much more like some people even say it looked like a triceratops. Or like a big rhino.
It lived in a cave, though, right? Didn't he fight it like at the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But, the fantasized version of, like you said, the Game of Thrones.
Right, yeah.
Which is one of these things that always makes me laugh. You know how some people are like, well, those are wyverns, right?
Those are what?
Wyverns. Because they have two wings and two legs. They break this down. It literally is all wrong.
What's a wyvern?
So technically, what people claim...
I've never heard that term.
It's just another type of dragon.
Okay.
What people claim is that, and this is all wrong, literally, linguistically, is a dragon has four legs and two wings.
Okay.
A wyvern is two legs, two wings.
Two legs, two wings, okay.
Yeah.
So no arms.
Yeah. And then there's amphitheals and, there's all kinds of other creatures that are, the variation of, the Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
Wings, no legs, four legs.
So, Charizard, dragon.
Yeah.
The
Game of Thrones would be wyverns.
They
have two legs and two wings. Their
right.
arms are their wings.
Right.
So they're not dragons.
Right.
According to some modern people. And I just want to say right off the rip, that's all wrong, technically. The original description of dragons were like giant crocodiles.
Okay.
So that word that they, the dragon,
the draconic word. Stuff,
was...
That's why they call it dragon, because they're always dragging their belly across the ground like crocodiles. So in their tails, that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
Didn't you know that?
Yeah. Dragging their bellies.
Yeah, that's not true. Don't listen to me.
No, so I just wanted to start with that because I seen all these people be like, well, that's not a dragon.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Like it's all
just words. Yeah. It means nothing.
Like the Linden worms we talked about are technically worms.
Yeah.
With the Y.
WYRM.
Yeah, are dragons.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so that's just one thing I wanted to get out. You ready for the first story?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Like, give me a second while I turn the page.
Oh, like Bob Seger.
All right, so let's see. So once again, Adam Benedict's book, Monsters in Print.
Mm-hmm.
It's humongous. We're only using a couple stories.
It's huge. It's the biggest, best book on cryptids.
Now, if you're new to the show, I don't read super well. And when you go back to the 1700s, 1800s, it gets worse.
Oh, gosh. That old English.
That old English. So the title of this one's A Monster Reptile.
Okay.
Orleans Independent Standard, September 18th, 1857, in Vermont.
Vermont?
Yeah.
All right.
Even though it's Orleans Independent. Remember, we talked about when we used this before, sometimes they report stuff like countries away.
It's so weird. Like we had Snallygaster reports in Virginia, but then they're writing about it in the paper in California.
Mm-hmm. A correspondent of the Alberton Democrat, writing from Walnut Hill, Lee County, Virginia, who is, as a Democrat asserts its readers, a gentleman in who is impeccable confidence and can be placed given the following account of the killing of a monster reptile of Harlan County, Kentucky.
Okay.
A guy in Virginia, who works for a different organization, is writing to the paper saying about a monster he'd seen killed in Kentucky.
Okay.
He says this, about 3 weeks ago, five men went to gather whortleberries. So I try to look up what whortleberries are. Yeah. No idea.
Extinct.
Yeah, probably. Extirpated. You only find them near dragon's dens, apparently. In the mountain part of Harlan County, Kentucky. And in their travels, they came upon a small batch at the foot of a steep ridge where they discovered a smooth, beaten path, or rather, a slide. That led them from the batch up the ridge. Curiosity tempting them into knowing the meaning, they followed the trail to the top of the ridge, where, to their astonishment, they found an acre of ground perfectly smooth and completely desolated of vegetation, near the center of which they discovered a small sink or cave, large enough to emit a salt barrel, like a 50-gallon drum.
Right, yeah.
So they get to the top. I'll just recap real quick. They're picking berries at the bottom of this mountain. this ridge. They look up and they can see like a smooth, like a wore down path.
Mm-hmm.
So you said dragon, like a dragon in the belly, like gators will do sometimes. They'll drag their tails at least.
Right.
Or turtles will drag. So you see that they go up to the ridge, they get to the top, about an acre wide, just no plants. There's something's cleared, is either walking around this a lot or clearing this a lot. They concluded to drop in a few stones to precise their ears what solitude with a loud rumbling sound accompanied a rattling noise. So they drop rocks down this hole. So they hear a loud rumbling sound accompanied by a rattling noise. An enormous serpent made its appearance, blowing and spreading its head, and its forked tongue protruded. The men were stuck with a wonder and an affright. They suddenly, the atmosphere was fallen with a smell of nauseating the three of the five men. They were taken very sick. The other two, discovering the condition of their companions, dragged them away from the abode of death, about 10 feet from the snake's head, to their judgment, made its appearance. When they hurried home and told what they had seen to the neighbors, the next day there mounted some 10 of them, hardy mountaineers, armed with rifles, determined to destroy the monster. Upon approaching within 100 yards of the dwelling of the snake ship, their horses became restless, and neither kindness nor force could make them go any nearer.
Mm.
The men dismounted, hitching their horses, proceeded on foot with their rifles cocked to the mouth of the cave. They hurled in 3 or 4 large stones. They fell back some 15 steps. When the same noise was heard as before, and out came the dreaded reptile, ready to look enticing, to crush the intruders. About the same length of the snake had appeared from the hole, when 8 or 10 bullets had went through its head as the monster had died. He kept crawling out until 20 more feet of the huge boa-like thing lay motionlessly on the ground. It was a rattlesnake, about 28 feet long. The first of his 4 inches in diameter, the rest describing in the size to the last, with difficulty, the man dragged it home, and his skin was now can be seen in the curiosities in Harlem County.
Wow. Still?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, wow.
1857. Well, sounds like
a giant snake.
Kinda. So they talk about, it's hard, you know, different language.
Right.
Forked tongue, yeah, kind of like a giant snake. From what I can see, it was clawing at the side, so it sounds like it had legs.
Is that what they were saying?
Let me read again.
I mean, I
read it a couple times. To me, it sounds like it was crawling out of the hole, like it had legs clawing at the sides of the cave. But you talk, go ahead.
Well, to me, I just kind of imagined it, a snake doing its, making its way out of the hole, you know, with slithering, crawling. It could just be a matter of semantics, you know, whatever words you want to use to describe it. If you're shooting it in the head and it's struggling to slither out, it might appear as like a crawl, or you might describe it as a crawl. I don't know.
So you get giant snake vibes?
I'm just for the length alone.
28 feet?
Mm-hmm.
That's big by anaconda standards.
Absolutely. But we've talked about, you know, giant snakes on this show plenty. And we did that one episode breakdown, and that one supposed video of that one, perhaps from the helicopter.
Easily
28. On the small end, 28 feet.
I was going to say, I think that was like 50 something.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what it just kind of sounds like to me. And then the snake hole, like, it sounds like a snake hole. And I don't know if even the grass around it, you know what? I've seen snake holes, you know, they kind of, when they get all the dirt out, it kind of gathers around it. You got a little mound. And I can see that if a snake's that big, maybe.
What are you talking about?
When snakes burrow in the ground, they got their little hole there in the yard.
It's not a snake hole.
Well, what is it?
A crawfish hole.
What do you mean?
With the little mud piles?
Snakes don't have holes?
Not like that.
Oh, okay. Well,
no,
shoot.
No snake makes a hole like that.
Okay, well, I see them come out of there.
They can use them. There's very few snakes that actually burrow.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I just always assume.
Hognose go through the dirt like moles.
One of my first encounters with a snake, it came out of a hole like that.
No, it's probably a gardener snake because they eat crayfish.
Oh, okay, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah, they take over holes. They don't dig holes.
Oh, well, never mind then. Well, maybe something else dug that big hole in.
I was thinking, I got more big lizard vibes. And even, I don't know, just to me, it sounded like it was like on top of the mountain. They talk about some dinosaurs. They found these sites that look like maybe breeding displays, or they clear out, big reptiles will clear out big areas as like a courtship area.
Right.
Or even a battle dome. Like a lot of Komodo dragons.
That'd be cool.
They'll they'll pick an area that has like beach, like a lot of times it's on beaches. They pick a big cleaned out area so the females can watch the battles.
Nice.
All right. So you think big snake for that one, huh?
Well, I was, but till you said snakes don't burrow.
I mean, there are burrowing snakes.
But?
They do not dig those holes you're talking about.
Right, so this one probably didn't.
Like hognose, they have a little shovel face.
Uh-huh.
And they dig more like a mole does.
Yeah.
Or like an earthworm.
Okay.
But they're not eating the soil. They're just kind of moving it out of the way.
Gotcha.
And then sunbeam snakes and the simple, like mud snakes, they do that through the mud.
Right, not so just like hard aquatic, earth.
Yeah. There's very few snakes that just dig through the dirt.
Well, then it probably wouldn't have
worm
then.
Snakes do too, but they're absolutely tiny.
Gotcha. Well, maybe it's just a big version. Maybe someone hit this one, a worm snake, with the Honey, I Blew Up the Kid laser.
Is that the second movie?
Yes. With their giant baby.
All right. Some of the names of these. So a big lizard or a bad case of the Jim Jams.
Oh, not the Jim Jams.
I don't know what the Jim Jams are.
I don't know, but I
Chicago
say it all the time.
Chicago Daily Tribune, June 18th, 1876, Illinois. Correspondent with the Denver News. Los Alamos, June 18th. With the issue of news of the week since before me, an unusual ridicule is made of a marine monster known as a sea serpent in connection with the Bordegodian specimens of the species said to have been seen comprehensively recently in the Indian Ocean. It's a whole different language at this point.
Sounds like you're speaking Sims.
Yeah. I've been but to marvel at the incredibility of my race. You are not willing to acknowledge the possibility of the vast caverns of the deep containing denizens, which, after all, are not constructed on much larger plan than that familiar of the whale. But the very plains that surround your city are home to monsters of bygone ages. Within a short 100 leagues of Denver may now be found a reptile compared to that which is the famous African serpent that once kept Roman legions at bay that could not hold a candle. With my own eyes, hardly 48 hours ago, I did behold the terrible creature, the like of which I could not have conceived to exist in the heavens above, nor in the earth beneath, nor in the waters under the earth. Last evening, just at dark, I was traveling at horseback wise along a stretch of county, about 200 miles east of here, which from a long distance merits the application of old geographs. Gave the entire region, the great American desert. As far as the eye could reach, no living thing, nor object created by a hand of man, could be seen. The solitude was the entirety as if cattle on thousands of hills were now grazing within less than 50 miles. And the iron horse did not draw its heavy freight, only just beyond the line of vision. Basically, he's getting close to coming back to civilization.
Okay.
So he's getting ready to work. He's 50 miles from where the cows are, and he's near the train.
Right, the iron horse.
Yeah. On every side of the horizon only bounded the view. Not even where the sky kissed the plain did aught the sacredity of the prairie grass. Already burnt to the brown under the rays of the fast summering sun, life itself dotted here and there by immovable cacti from Mother Earth. And the silence, save the quick reckoning thud of the horse's hoofs. Ooh, I gotta turn the page. As he lolloped over the prairie, not a sound could be heard, and the stillness was so profound that I almost experienced to hear the hissing of the sun, which was on the point of setting. It was quenched its fire, according to the ancient science, in the Pacific Ocean. But the silence and the solitude were not for long, as I was about to seek a place to build a fire and relieve for the night. Suddenly, a long thrill from a start from the earth in the very path of the setting sun, and a queer rumbling cry was borne to my ears upon the western wind. At first, I thought it was the initial train of the opposite of the Berubin, kind of like looks like banana, line railroad, and tried to distort the noise better. Hardly the sound died upon the air when the intense thundering seized of its limbs. And then it expanded nostrils and dilated eyes. He began looking on all sides as if to find a way to escape. So the horse is starting to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And now the same strange cry was repeated, and my terrified sight perceived what was only to be taken to the railway train was an enormous reptile, half serpent, half quadruped. It was now running, not creeping along the earth, at an incredible rapid rate. Although my limbs almost refused to perform any office or any performance due to their office of terror, I had turned mechanically to leap off my horse. Nonetheless, I knew that that the pace of the monster was coming was faster than anything a horse could do at full gallop. But the beast had broken away from where I had tied him, and quickly devouring the earth with rapid feet. So the horse is just bolting.
Okay.
The monster's running at him. The horse is running.
Right.
Not, however, away from the coming danger. Although distracted sheared me in the face, I almost lost consciousness from my peril in view of the strange scene that followed. As soon as the terrible thing perceived that the horse was able to run at a rate that competed an inconvenient degree of speed to catch up with him, he suddenly stopped in his career for the movement resembling silent and motionless. So the giant monster, seeing the horse running, was starting to chase after it.
Then realized it wasn't worth it.
So yeah. He laid down.
Okay.
Now the only sound heard was made by the retreating horse, which was growing fainter and fainter. Immediately, Eerie had become quiet, lost in the ears. The cause of the brute's flight began to utter a symphonious roar that one moment sounded like a brutish mother calling her young, and another weird imitation of the cooing of a dove.
Hmm.
Almost like a lady screaming for her kids, and then some bird noises.
So weird.
Is it?
A little bit.
Hmm. Hardly had some sounds been uttered when the horse, which was almost lost in the sight and rapidly growing darkness, had stopped. Previously, he turned around and began with hastened steps to return. The noise still continued, and even to my human hearing seemed to be pleading, inviting notes to it. The Bogranian beast, too, had assessed the shape at once of a cat ready to play with her kittens. And the serpent was trying to charm her prey back into its folds.
Mm.
So the thing laid down, and he feels like it's starting to mimic like comforting calls back. So he thinks it's luring the horse back, and the horse stopped running, calmed down, and starting to walk back. And now let me describe the monster, more terrible to which a never creature seen those long past periods. With all of nature's animation formations, were equally great and grotesque, huge and horrible. Like other Saurians, which is a word for dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
It had a body of a lizard, uplifted, though, as near as I could judge, 8 feet. And it was propelled by powerful, as already noted, seeming to exist chiefly on its tail, which steamed behind the body for at least 100 feet.
So its tail was that long?
The trunk of the monster must have been 30 feet long and about half that figure in width. So about 15 feet wide and 30 feet long, 100 foot long tail.
The tail.
The body of the lizard was 30 feet long.
15 feet wide?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Think of like bearded dragons and that kind of stuff. So there are a bunch of lizards that are big and round.
15 feet?
Like half as wide as it is long, yeah. The torso, yeah. The feet seemed a little more than paddles in which it used to push its huge body along, and apparently had little supporting power. The creature's belly was always touching the ground, except when it was rapid motion forcing it forward in the air. So the only time it wasn't dragging its belly is when it was running full bore. Let me get to where I was, sorry. In its head, seemingly as large as an ordinary umbus, which it was flattened at the top, was as it was having undergone in its youth experience of a papyrus of the Flathead Indians, and the towering high up over the body on a neck greater in dimension than that of a barrel. and a full 10 feet in length. Its head's the size of a barrel, its neck is thick as a barrel, and it's 10 foot long.
Jeez.
A big animal. The eyes, which like those on the dog in Harris Christian Andersen's story, were as large as saucers and appeared larger than mill wheels, which are those big stones.
Mm-hmm. That they use to crush grain.
Mm-hmm. They're about a yard and a half apart. So 5 feet, they were about 5 feet away from each other. The head's wide. And gleamed as lanterns do on either side of a carriage. Thus far, the mouth was only partly open and emit the sound above as noted. So competitive darkness, I could not see it distinctly. But the opportunity to witness it on a more advantageous soon came. So he couldn't see inside the mouth very well, but here in a second, he gets to see inside the mouth.
Mm.
The color of this extraordinary elephant was dark purple, such as it's sometimes used in churches to light or for lantern times, mottled with black spots. So the big beast is purple with black spots.
Okay.
Very few animals have that coloration. By this time, the horse had come back within the embrace of the seducer and was charmed. It's all at once ceased. Another movement with its terrible mouth, which I now could see, was large as a barn door, opened. The forked tongue darted out and pulled my poor beast within.
So it pulled a whole horse's
body into its mouth
with just its tongue like a frog.
Or a chameleon. They came to the sound of teeth crunching.
Oh, jeez.
On the breaking the bones, mangling it with a shifted deathly cry of the fainting brute was even man-bastard. Then all was still. The frightful creature lay there motionlessly as it digested its meal. Perhapsly, it stirred, and giving myself up for loss, I made up my mind that I'd be its next victim. When turning, it rapidly rolled away in the direction from which it came, without much as looking at me. More dead than alive with terror, I made for my best way to my place, where I arrived horseless, and I was nearly all my provisions gone this morning.
This horse got ate.
Yeah.
It got ated.
So this giant, I mean.
Yeah, this thing's gigantic.
I mean, if we get rid of the tail, which some lizards, big beasts can have a really long tail.
Sure, we'll throw out the tail, like, estimated length.
Yeah.
Either way, it's going to be big.
I think you were just saying it was long.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It also could be exaggerating for the newspaper, or it could be making the whole thing up.
Either way, it's big enough to eat a horse.
Oh, yeah, it ate a horse. This monster, but it sounds like a mix of a giant reptile, a dragon, all these things. The color's really crazy.
Yeah.
Purple with black spots. But like that, like church purple. I can't remember. It's not royal purple.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
I always called it as a kid Jesus purple.
Oh, there you go.
At our church, we always had it, you know, for special times.
The old Jesus purple.
But
I know what you're talking about, too.
It's that color.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very distinct purple.
It's not a dark purple, but it's not a light purple.
Mm-hmm.
It's vibrant, but it's not, it's not dull, but it's not like super vibrant. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So this thing looks halfway between like a monitor lizard and a dragon in my head.
Yeah. I keep getting Komodo dragon like vibes off it, but.
Massive.
But yeah, on a scale.
The only thing that throws me off for the Komodo dragon is the head. Now the forked tongue. Yeah. The shape is much more blocky. Almost like you said, saurian. Almost like more dinosaur shape. I almost get a T-Rex head. This big square. Mm. It's flat on top, which Komodo dragons have a little bit of a flat head. But they're much more, monitor lizards are much more cylinders for their heads.
Mm.
When you look at what they feed on, they're pulling out guts of animals and that kind of stuff. They're much more, almost, monitor lizards are very closely related to the serpent, snakes.
Okay.
So they have much more, their jaws, the way they're designed, are much more like that. Monitor lizards don't, they have a pretty powerful bite, but they're not like a crushers like crocodilians are.
Right.
This head, to me, describes much more of a crushing type bite.
Like a muscular.
Yeah, and here on the horse, just being crunched, instantly mangled.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about it luring it back, laying down and making cooing sound, like calling?
Ain't that a weird behavior? Yeah. I mean, not a weird
but
behavior.
It shows high intelligence, which monitor lizards have high intelligence. Crocodilians, people don't believe it, but some of the old saltwater crocodiles showed extreme intelligence with camouflaging and even baiting animals closer in.
Yeah.
You ever seen the ones that stack sticks on their head?
Uh-uh.
So saltwater crocodiles have been documented stacking sticks on their head to attract birds.
To just draw them in so they can eat them?
No, because the birds want the sticks for their nest.
Yeah.
So they'll find what they think are really good nest sticks, put them right on the end of their nose.
And they'll eat them when they come in. Oh, wow.
So
creative.
So there is intelligence in the reptiles. I don't know. It's a really crazy story. That was one of my favorite ones when I was looking at this stuff. We have a couple more. We're going to take our ad break, and then we'll be right back.
Good, because I'm starving.
Let me get one pulled up.
We need some food.
You ready?
Yes.
Oh, should I bring back a retired one?
Please.
Okay. We'll be right back, guys.
I, the great and powerful Mr. Ree, had devised a diabolical plan. I am going to bring back a dinosaur so they can reveal their secrets of dynamite flavor. Hit the ray! What is that coming out of the tube? It's a dinosaur! Oh my gosh, what is that in your claws, dinosaur? Is that Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath, raw garlic dust? Oh my gosh, this is the best stuff. It truly is dynamite. If you guys had this, how did you go extinct? Ah, taxes gets us all. If you want some of this amazing and dynamite garlic dust, you can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn or the link below.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
And we're back. So I had young Jay look up the word I could not read. And was it a difficult word?
A little bit.
You couldn't read it either.
I read it. Brobdignagium.
It's again at the end.
Brobdignagium.
Again.
Brobdignagium. Ah, I think I got it that time.
I think that's close as we're going
to get. That was it.
It's got like 30 letters in it.
It has a B and a D touching.
Yeah, and then an ing, and then an N, and then again.
And an agian.
What you looked up what it meant.
It just means giant. Basically, it was from that Gulliver's Travels book. Basically just that's the land of the giants was Brobdignagia.
Just interesting.
Being Brobdignagian just means is another way of saying something's gigantic.
Interesting.
Giant proportions.
Giant proportions. So we had I get this big for that animal we just talked about. This almost halfway between, like I already said, a monitor lizard and like a big crocodilian. Dragons would be the best way to really describe it as just this monster reptile.
Mm-hmm.
Or reptilian traits, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But also this smart, like dragons, and we'll talk about it. And many cultures talk about how fiercely intelligent they are.
Right, yeah.
That they are, so some people, some folklorists and psychologists actually say that dragons are a composite of all man's greatest fears, and given the personality of all what we think is evil in man.
Okay.
So if you look at wrath and greed, like So we put all of the personifications of what we think are bad in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
mixed with all the things that scare us, birds of prey, you know, crocodilians, reptiles, snakes, like all the, you know, and then the caves, you know, that's where dragons
devil
live in the cave.
Worshippers.
But yeah, so some psychologists and some folklorists believe that's where dragons kind of come from. Is this, it's a hodgepodge of the physical characteristics that scare us, and the personality is the things that we hate about ourselves. Because dragons hoard, you know, hoard money or, you know, knowledge or
the potential and the kinetic.
There you go. I seen one comic that was just like, he's telling, there's a crane telling a knight, I want you to go kill that dragon. He's like, okay, why? Like, well, because he hoards all of his wealth, he kills people for no reason, and the kingdom falls to his wrath. Oh. And the knight's sitting there and he stabs the king.
Right.
Because the king just described himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's like, the king told me to kill all the dragons.
Yep.
But no, so that's no, you know, that could be another thing that they represent is like the nobility. When we're talking about European dragons specifically, is they could represent nobility and that, you know, people slaying like King Arthur and stuff, slaying ancient nobility.
Right. Except for their, to make way for their own.
Mm-hmm.
Just thoughts. I could see that. Yeah, absolutely.
And it could also, like, we'll talk about it, but
like Tim over there. Tim is land that I want, so let's call him a dragon. Label him a dragon.
Right, they did it with other. They did it with many things.
Right, not we just
about
him.
It. Oh, what was it? Papua New Guinea. We talked about the Living Dinosaurs episode, where they called those people cannibals, so they could just murder them.
Right. Yeah.
They could shoot them on sight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, they're cannibals. Don't worry about it.
Just funny how.
Or they're Saharan pygmies. Oh, they're not people.
Right. Exactly.
We can shoot them.
How easily you can sway humanity and their thoughts and things just by dehumanizing everything.
So the Grenada Sentinel, July 14th, 1883, Mississippi, a monster reptile. Now, they say that a lot.
Right, yeah.
But keep in mind, at this time, dinosaurs or saurians, that's another, I may be wrong on this one. I'm not great with words. But I believed that, because everybody's like, well, the word dinosaur wasn't described until the 1880s.
Right.
Like, so dinosaurs didn't exist before that. No, they did. They found fossils long before that. They called them different things.
Mm.
Like, I think saurian is the word that they used well before dinosaur. That's the root, like, the root of dinosaur is saurians.
Why change it?
Huh?
Why change it?
Because saurian was kind of, now it's not, but it was at the time it was kind of a catch-all for all, like, big reptiles.
Mm. Okay.
So, like, it was just a way that they were describing them. They wanted them to, like, because they found, I think it was a fossilized whale in Scotland, they called it a saurian, the Blesmosaur, and the United States was called a saurian, which is a big prehistoric whale, looked much more like a crocodile. That's where the skeleton goes. But I've showed you pictures of sperm whale skulls, and they look like giant crocodiles.
Right, yeah, they do.
You don't, you know, and that's what we talk about with paleontology. We don't know what dinosaurs look like, because we can skin wrap them, and they can look very different than what they did, because, you know, 80% of a whale
right.
It's not shown on a skeleton.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or you look at birds. Like, if you didn't have evidence that birds are covered in feathers, you ever seen it? You've seen naked birds, right?
Oh, yeah.
They look nothing like, you know.
Right.
All right. A monster reptile. I hate the one with like 50 names. Late Saturday, G.B. Shaw of Vermilion Parish and Will Cook, Frank Hunson, and Fritz. Now, that's a gang right there.
Yeah, it is.
Were keepers of the Lake Catherine Club. Were out hunting in Bayou Bob, Lake Catherine, where their attention was attracted to a great disturbance in the water of the bayou. Rushing to the banks of the stream, they saw, beyond the reeds which grew out of the water, a reptile whose so immense and revolting ugliness amazed them beyond measure. As nearly as they could judge from the portion of the monster which was exposed above the water, it was 30 feet long. Its breadth, as in its width, was the thickest part, was about 3 feet. Its back was rough and corrugated with molten and horny barbs.
Ooh.
Apparently from 6 to 10 inches long, stubby thick down, and eventually to columns of its vertebrae. The tail was not visible, but the length was made apparent when it was moving under the water the monster used, propelling itself rapidly down the bayou. So you see, the 30 foot is the part that's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's anything like normal reptiles, you know, its tail can be easily half, if not longer, its length.
Right, exactly.
The proboscis and the eyes. I knew you were going to. That's
lit up there.
The proboscis and the eyes were visible, and the shape and the position seemed much like those of an alligator.
Hmm.
Now, make that very clear. They're saying the head kind of looks like an alligator. They never call this thing an alligator.
Hmm. Sus.
I
know what it is, but keep going. I already know.
If you could actually guess what I have for the end of this episode, I would be absolutely amazed because it's an animal you've never heard of.
This one in particular?
The whole thing.
Oh,
my ending. If you guess this one, I'll quit.
I know what this is.
But not this one. I'm talking about the end of the episode. Because sometimes you do guess my endings.
Yes.
If you guess this one, I will quit. The podcast is over.
My most impressive one was the Fusa on Freaky Fauna Friday.
That was a good one.
Shot in the dark.
The monster gave movement and waves and rose and broke among the reeds. Their guns were heavily loaded, fortunately with buckshot. At the first fire, there was a terrific result. The waters on the board bayou were lashed from the banks to banks, and great waves shook the reeds as strong as winds. The monster reared its huge, repulsive head, full 6 feet above the water. Its red, glinting eyes glared fiercely towards its enemies. They were almost paralyzed in the horror of the dreadful apparition, as it directly summoned the nerve to fire upon its second barrel at the frightful muzzle of the monster, which wide open displayed its carnivorous throat, from which it flashed a long, slender tongue. Which, you know, ever seen an alligator tongue?
Wouldn't no.
Describe it as long and slender.
No.
It's like a big flat thing is attached to the bottom of their jaw.
Mm.
The smoke cleared in the second discharge, and it seemed that the monster had again subsided. Its huge back passed through the waters with incredible swiftness towards an unusually thick and broad branch of the reeds. Some score of yards down the stream on the opposite side, as it disappeared, the gentleman was still further terrified of its muffling roars being heard from a distance. They hastened to the spot opposite at which the monster had disappeared and continued firing upon the reeds for a long while in hopes that the monster would reappear, but to no avail. And none of the party thinking on the occasion deemed it near approach, they departed. They didn't want to chase after it. So they see this giant. They see the head is kind of crocodile-like. The back spikes, and I could see, like, even alligators. I didn't mean crocodile, I meant alligator. I could see almost a corrugated pattern to the back of an alligator. The osteoderms, the plates, the bony plates in the skin. Really describe it not like an alligator. Also, have the osteoderms being long and pointed, which is not an alligator. Alligators are
short and stubby.
Stubby and round,
yes.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Almost like a turtle shell, and that's kind of how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
But
the scoots.
The head is similar to that of an alligator, but not.
Okay.
That's kind of the big point to this. These guys know what alligators are. They're out there hunting, you know. So they're very, very point. It's kind of like an alligator, but it's not. It's huge, you know, at least 30 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
They shot it and it raised up out of the water, dived, and then got onto land to run away.
Interesting feature there.
So yeah, and when you think of big crocodilians, that's not really what they would do. We talk about Gustav, the man-eater. It's probably the world's largest crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did he do every time a gun came out?
He would
just
sink. Yeah, get underwater.
And just crawl away.
Disappear.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of this story?
Well, I got a thought for what this one might be.
Okay.
I wrote down my options at the end there. But
okay.
But I'm giving you one, though, this one.
Okay.
This one is basically describing exactly a snollygoster.
Oh, a goster. A snollygoster.
Snollygoster.
You guys haven't seen us our live shows with the Lumberland Beast.
Yes.
Which
we go into depth about the snollygoster. Actually, if you want to hear about that, come see us at a live show. Maybe we'll talk about it.
I mean, if you ask us, we'll talk about whatever.
Absolutely.
I didn't even think about that.
A snollygoster.
It does kind of have some similarities. The big spines on the back, the long head with the long neck. You know, the only thing I would say is they didn't say it had a boat prop for a tail.
Well, you know, it's under the water.
Oh, I guess, you know.
They said it moved fast.
It was a snollygoster.
It might be. That you even mentioned they eat shadows.
Yes, the men were just terrified. They never had a shadow again.
Again, right.
They never had a shadow again. I would have been, if they said that in this thing, the men said that it scared them so much their shadows never reappeared.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, well, it was a snollygoster.
It has to be at that point. The only option.
The only option.
No, that one, that popped in my head, though.
The snollygoster's a good one.
When I'm like, what can this freaking be? And then that popped in my head. Yeah, okay, it's that.
Like I said, These descriptions fit an animal. You'll never guess.
I don't know. I wrote two other ones down right here. And
I know which one you wrote.
You don't know.
I got to guess. One starts with an M.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I got two of them down there, and I flipped the paper over, and I'm not touching it until the end.
I'm excited. If you know what this animal is, it's going to end the podcast.
Stay tuned, people. It may be coming to an end. I got it down on the paper right here.
Oh, gosh. I'd go fishing a lot more.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be, no, maybe you couldn't. I don't know.
With this?
With if you end the podcast.
If you end the podcast.
Yeah.
You know how much time this, I know it takes a lot of your time as well, but this takes a lot of my time a week.
Then you'll have to get another job. You'll have to get a job again.
Yeah.
That takes, see? Freedom.
I guess. Thank you guys for paying my bills.
Yes.
we're idiots. If you don't think we're like this in real life, ask any of the people that come to a live show or conference with us.
Think like what?
Just
what?
Big goofy people. We are. Well, I'm a big goofy person. You're a small goofy person.
People think
it's like Santa and an elf.
People think this is an act.
Some people have thought that we put on a show.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I don't have enough time and energy for that.
Yeah. All right. Ready for the next one? I think I have. We'll see how far we get with this one.
All right.
We'll maybe start wrapping up and add. Like I said, this is a part of an ongoing series. Like, I know we have the trains, monsters and trains to bring back.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is kind of going to be in like one of those where they kind of just, I'll put them in whenever.
Okay.
Big snake bellows like an angry bull.
Ooh.
So snakes don't have vocal cords.
No.
They can hiss. They can expel air like tortoises. Crocodilians don't have vocal cords either. They actually use like their
stomach or whatever.
They use resonating chambers inside their body to make sounds.
Okay. Because they bellow.
Yeah. That's very scary. If you haven't heard it, it's very scary.
It means stay away.
No, it's a breeding thing.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with you, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's just they're trying to attract ladies. It's most of the time it's a male doing it to attract females.
Nice. I should try
or
that.
To challenge other males.
Ooh.
So a lot of times it's, you know, it's a call for both.
Yeah.
So it means there's a really big alligator somewhere nearby. Because male alligators get a lot bigger than female alligators.
That's fact.
Big snake bellows like a bull. The Hartford Herald, July 31st, 1907, Kentucky. When a monster threw a man 20 feet, breaking his ribs. Valley, Ned, July 26th. Monster snake, 50 feet long, with a head like a bushel basket, which anybody doesn't know what a bushel basket is. It's like when you sell grain now, it's by the bushel.
Right.
It's just a basket.
Yeah.
It's a basket we use to measure grains.
Mm-hmm.
They used to use them for all kinds of things. They don't even exist anymore. It's just a unit of measurement.
Right, yeah, bushel.
It caused terror to a farmer east of his town, where he had been seen several times and where yesterday he picked up Joseph Anderson, a farmer, threw him 20 feet, breaking his ribs in doing this.
Lucky he's only got broken ribs after 20-foot toss.
A snake had picked... I've been kicked that far.
20 feet's far.
20 feet's pretty far, but a giant snake...
Grabs you and throws you.
Picked him up and threw him.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a snake?
No, not really.
Yeah. The farmers have organized a grand snake hunt for next week, and every man for miles came around to take part. For 25 years, reports have been circulating about a big snake that lived near Aegis Lake, would occasionally caught and swallow a pig or a calf. Twice this year, the snake has been seen. Yesterday, while Joseph Anderson and W. Nightingale, both farmers, were en route to go to the lake to go and bathe. They were walking through high grass. The monster snake suddenly rose up right under Anderson. So he kind of walked on top of it as it was laying down in the grass, this long grass trying to walk to the lake.
Oops.
So he attempted to step over it, thinking it was a huge log.
Yeah, oops.
The force of the head threw Anderson 20 feet.
Oh, okay.
Then... when its head raised about 6 feet above the ground, it bellowed like an angry bull. The snake made a dash towards the lake, which it entered in the sight of the men. Anderson and Nightingale said the snake was 40 feet long, 1 foot thick, and hissed like a locomotive letting off steam. When it rushed through the woods to the lake, it broke off many limbs of trees 3 or 4 inches thick. The county around Aegis Lake is wild over in report. None of the farmers will venture out of their house after dark.
Well, I would explain that if you got a 40-foot snake out there.
Doesn't sound like a snake in any way, shape, or form.
Oh.
Stood up and ran.
Yeah.
But they talk about it. Like, remember we talked about this Aborigines and?
Aborigines and I don't know
where you're Megalania.
Going. Oh, okay, okay.
The giant Komodo dragon.
Are you talking about another group of people?
No, it is another group of people. Well, they talk about how much they look like logs when they lay still.
The Megalania.
Yeah, the Megalania will look a lot like a log. And they don't do it. I don't think they, I think they just do it. They just happen to look like a log. It's not, it was partially maybe camouflage for hunting. This thing I don't think was hunting anybody.
It's just resting.
I think it
probably.
Was just laying there sleeping. Yeah. And the guy stepped over it.
Yeah.
I did this with a stingray one time.
Ooh.
Because we would shuffle our feet. When we were fishing in the beach for sharks.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't get stung by a stingray. Even when he stepped on them. If you were in a pretty active beach, like Daytona, for example.
They'd move.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. They're not threatened when you step on them most of the time. Like, they won't sting you. I put 2 feet on one on accident, though. A huge monster ray.
Oops.
And it shot out like a carpet.
Yeah, from under
and
you.
And I fell.
Yeah.
And Dad thought I was getting attacked by a shark. Or Luke. I can't remember who it was with me.
Either way, you just had the rug.
It was a monster.
You just had the rug pulled out from under you.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think of this one? Living by the lake has been seen for 20 years. It kind of reminds me of our buddy.
Sinkhole Sam.
Very similar. And they rounded up. They
Except it was out of the water. That's the only difference. Well,
Sam was never had to leave because they brought him. They brought him food.
Well, I'm saying you never seen Sam out of the water. Yeah, yeah. There's no account for
and this
that,
is, but from the long grasses, this sounds like a wetland park.
Mm.
So
maybe a riparian zone it was hanging out
in? It would be a riparian zone.
Yeah. Or a delineation zone. What do you think?
It would not be a delineation.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that existed for a long time.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I know partially what both of those words mean.
What?
Delineation and riparian. I know just enough to use them right.
Yeah, you do. No, so any thoughts, though?
Oh, just interesting. Another account of whatever these things are. Where was that one at? In particular,
I didn't know. Kentucky, I believe.
Oh, closer to home, huh?
Yeah. I have more, but we're going to save the rest because I want to get into some of the things I think these things could be.
Okay.
But yeah, I like, so far, I like the stories. And like I said, that there's hundreds of these in Adam's books.
Mm-hmm.
I have all three of Adam's books. I highly recommend anybody at home get them. I don't do a ton of ghost stuff or a ton of ghost research, but his Ghost in Print.
Adam Benedict.
The Monsters in Print, Ghost in Prints, and Oddities in Prints are the three books.
Mm-hmm.
Get them. They're great resources.
Especially, yeah, if you love this stuff, I mean.
He sifted through the Library of Congress to find these things.
So many.
And I do think a lot of these things would just disappear if it wasn't for Adam's books.
100% agree. We wouldn't be talking about a lot of it.
No, I wouldn't know none of these. None of these. None of these are public anywhere. Like, they're there, but you'd have, like, you can't go. You can go to the Library of Congress and search Giant Lizard, and it won't come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right. So what do we think they are? Let's hear your guesses before I get into my list.
You ready to spoil the show?
If you Google something and you found this, I'll be very upset.
I didn't Google enough.
Okay.
So I have two things listed on here, and they're both dinosaurs.
Okay, so I'm safe.
Ah, dang
Unless
it.
Unless you think something's a dinosaur that's not a dinosaur, because that could be too.
Well, I had at first Allosaurus, just being an Allosaurus.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe the scoots on its back, the little protrusions on the head. I don't know.
Okay.
And then just getting up and running. Long tail. Could be a snake from over top. The other one was Spinosaurus.
What?
Aren't those half water?
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, maybe swimming in the water. You see the spines on its back? Maybe confuse those. Getting up, running away on land, having the alligator-like head and mouth.
Iroraptor would have been a better one.
Oh, well, I'm no dino
expert. Like, that's like a Spinosaurus without the sail. It's a cousin.
Ah, that's what I meant then. Those were my two guesses.
Okay.
That were out of the box. But the third one is a salamander.
Okay. None of those are on my list. It's very interesting.
I just added that one to try to get you.
Actually,
I did have one. Okay. I didn't write it down, though. A giant skink.
That's closer to my stuff.
Skink is what I was going to go for.
So, first one, I do not think these are Megalania. That's what I thought was going to be on your list, which is the Komodo dragon.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Just wanted to say that I don't think these are Megalania.
Too obvious.
And they're also, all these were in North America. As far as I know, no native monitor lizard made it to North America.
Okay.
I don't want to say this because I'm fairly certain that monitor lizards are only native. They can be found in North America now due to invasive species, but only native to Asia, Australia, and Africa.
Okay.
And then the Middle East, everywhere in between. But mm-hmm. I think that's all of the monitor lizards. I don't think they ever came to the Americas.
Ventured out that far.
Because there are cousins like tegus in South America, but aren't, I don't think tegus are true monitor lizards.
Mm. Pseudo. monitor lizards, yeah, what I call family. Them.
Well, there's a bunch of tegus, which are also invasive here in North America. That's the big black and white ones, the zebra lizards. And they have a mean bite. But big, round, square head. They're really wide, even though they get long.
What are you trying to say? That
this I'm just saying.
Is that an option for one of these? A
big,
giant,
wide, flat heads with horns on them? Interesting. No, so I have a bunch of options. First one is mis-IDing alligators and maybe even or Komodo dragons from escape zoos and circuses and that kind of stuff. We talked about that with like, oh, I just forgot what the serpent here in Ohio, right next to Frogman.
Ohio horn serpent?
The Crossvic
monster.
Yeah. Is that what you're writing on Ohio horn serpents?
Yep. Is that one? Is that an option on your list?
I mean, that's like saying a cryptid for a cryptid.
No.
But no, so the mis-ID gators, right? Let's talk about that, because some of these really talk about crocodilian-like features, but distinctly a couple times, and like we didn't get into all of them, distinctly a couple times, the witnesses made it very clear that it had crocodilian-like features. It was not a crocodilian,
okay,
i.e. the American alligator.
Yeah.
So
it could have been another one, another type of gator.
It could. So caiman are in South America and Central America, and there is the American crocodile. But this would be all of these would be extremely far north. The American crocodile is like the Keys in the Everglades.
What about a gharial?
I mean, there was like 8 of them alive.
Were any of them giant?
There were not. I mean, a long time ago, there were some giant gharials.
Might be hanging on.
I think
on.
That long, thin nose.
Yeah.
Not that big square T-Rex like head.
True.
You know, it's kind of the exact opposite.
Oh yeah.
Description of the creature. But talking about the back scutes and talking about osteoderms and this big, wide, I keep picturing this pit bull or this T-Rex-like head.
Okay.
But I mean the big, wide, square muscle head.
Right, yeah. Good for chomping.
Yeah.
But, horses.
Yeah, and it did. Also, this fierce intelligence. So to me, gators being these, I don't believe so. Especially because the ones that were in the habitat with gators, people know what gators are.
Right.
This hunting club hunted alligators.
They wouldn't be calling this thing.
And they made it a point. It was kind of looked like a gator in some parts, but right. It wasn't a gator.
They wouldn't be calling it something else if they already knew what was.
You could say a crocodile for that Louisiana one. Like, it is out of their range, but maybe one worked up there. The behavior to me, if you take all these stories for as is, behavior for me doesn't sound like a crocodilian. You know, a crocodilian's going to go straight to the bottom of the river when it's being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go where it's confident. It's not going to get out of the water
and
crawl across land.
Run away.
It's just, to me, that seems much more like a terrestrial animal that would happen to be in the water when they seen it.
Right, yep. I agree with that.
And, you know, and wanted to get away. So, what do you think of the mis-ID'd? Komodo dragon / gators?
It's a possibility for maybe some of these, but overall, no. I mean,
yeah.
25 feet like long, said, 30 feet long.
We'll do more because there was 4 more I had on the list.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they are described, and I wanted to make that point, they're described as snakes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I noticed
like
that a lot.
Like serpents. They do not mean snakes as in big snakes.
They just mean serpents?
There are stories in there that say snake and mean snake.
Yeah.
There are stories that they were talking about snakes, and it's that giant reptile, like lizard or dragon or a dinosaur even. They called them snakes or serpents.
Gotcha.
So snake is like saurian, right? It's that kind of word that's, and especially in the 1800s and 1700s, they're kind of throwing at it to mean big reptile.
Okay. Or like long reptile.
Long reptile. Yeah. I think, at least that's my opinion.
I can see it.
What's the word? Is it? It's like entomologist, but it's not.
It's something that's almost like the other?
Yeah. Well, it studies the words.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know.
Anyways, so I don't think any, at least these ones that we read today, I don't think they're mis-IDs.
Right.
I think that would be very hard to get some of these animals to be. And there was a bunch with the Bear Lake monster, which we'll probably do a whole episode on, but there's a bunch in this book about that, which is another big reptile that kind of fits a lot of these.
Okay.
Next one is somebody was talking about dimensional predators with some of these things.
Ooh.
That, you know, we talk about like some cryptids. Like Mothman is from somewhere else that gets pushed out.
Yes.
Somebody was talking about, and I wish I had it. I tried to look it up last night. I couldn't find it. I seen somebody talk about that maybe these type of dragons, these big, robust monsters, are walking threads in between the dimensions, and that's their habitat. That's what they hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They pop in and out to hunt and then pop back in.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be why they can pop up, disappear, go away. I don't know. There's this whole thing with reptilians and gold and dragons and gold. That's just one thing I seen somebody said. It was an interesting idea that these are either predators from somewhere else or predators that are kind of walking both worlds, like we talk about with Bigfoot.
Right, yeah.
Kind of being able to have a foot in each side. So maybe these are not as intelligent, you know, as when we're talking about Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
but still intelligent. These stories showed intelligence and fear and, you know, their flesh and blood because, you know, they shot it. You know, it ran away.
Yeah.
You know, it ate a horse.
They killed it. They had it on display in the general store or whatever that was.
So what do you think about this kind of idea?
That's an interesting theory. I mean, you can't rule it out if we're going to believe, you know, Bigfoot may have come from this other dimensions, be able to travel back and forth. If they can do it, they can't be the only lone ones doing it.
Right.
I mean, so I can't rule this out as being an idea.
Parabiology.
Oh.
I just coined that.
Nice. Parabiology.
I don't know why I ever coined that. Next one is kind of a mix of my last one and this one. Hollow Earth dragons.
Okay.
So there's tons and tons of stories talking about Hollow Earth either having dragons or the gateways to Hollow Earth, the tunnels.
Are guarded by dragons.
They either guarded or they live there. They live in the in-between. So, like, they're popping out on the surface to eat things. They're popping down below to eat things. These tunnels to Hollow Earth may have dragons. Tony had somebody on his show talking about this that had the lizard people, and I don't remember if it was a members-only episode or if it was a public episode, having the monsters, like, the lizard people that live in the Earth, had these type, like, dragons as pets. They had flying dragons and brute dragons. So that's what we're going to talk about today is the brute dragons. These big terrestrial monsters.
Yeah.
And
the ground dwellers.
There were wild ones, and then there was, like, I guess, domesticated ones.
Okay.
And it was very interesting because how he was a kid when he experienced, but how he was describing them really sound like a lot of these encounters. Even the King James, the original description of that dragon, kind of sounds like that. So I kind of wonder if these are living in the Hollow Earth, whether you think the whole Earth is hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more on the side that it's a massive cavern system that supported, like Godzilla King Kong kind of does it, where it's like giant layers inside the Earth and it's supported by lava and crystals are kind of the light and heat sources.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, they're separate environments from the sun.
Right.
But we have proof on Earth that not all environments are derived from the sun.
Sun, correct.
That just came out this year. That we have all ecosystems that have no input from the sun, which is crazy.
Like the thermo vents.
Yeah, because they were cut off. They were inside. There was no outside nutrients coming in.
Right.
And so that's very important to prove that these systems can exist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, keep in mind they're bottom, like you said, thermal vents inside a volcano in the bottom of the ocean.
Right. Yeah.
But to prove that an environment, because there may be other environments, you can't prove it when
you can't see them.
Well, when resources can come in.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't mean they need it.
Gotcha.
Like the deep cave environments that we have. Water brings in resources.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these environments could survive without that input, but we'll never be able to prove it.
Right, yeah.
Because there's constantly going to be water coming through.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about this? Kind of these monsters, like whether they're saurians or whether they're, I don't know, you said, you know, maybe they are allosaurs. I don't think they are because the way they're described, but no, dinosaurs or creatures like that that are living in the Hollow Earth or living in the connecting chambers. I do believe that there's massive tunnels all over the planet that connect to it, and they're just little holes that kind of pop out here and there.
And what if, like, the Hollow Earth isn't, like, a physical place on Earth as far as round Earth, hollow inside, a hole, but what if the caves just connect to that different dimension and same difference?
Yeah.
But they're living in that in between? Maybe that's why they're half, you know, some of them come all the way out, some of them don't.
And
I mean,
a lot of these are described around, and like I said, we didn't get a hold of them today. A lot of these are described around holes and tunnels and caves.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at historically, dragons are almost always associated with caves.
And I had that weird dream as a kid where the snakes coming out of the holes in the ground.
Was it a dream or did you actually experience it?
No, it was a dream. They were like flying snakes in all these holes and it kept getting
dragons.
Bigger. And it was getting bigger and bigger.
Dragons.
Yeah, they had no feet and they had no wings, but they were flying in like these big arc patterns. It's weird.
There are flying snakes. That's a cryptid and a real animal.
Well, this one turned into a pig at the end and started chasing me. So, a dream.
They could inflate.
Came out of a huge hole at the end.
So, yeah, what are you going with Hollow Earth?
I mean, are these protectors of the Hollow Earth, or are these protectors, bodyguards, or are they just coming in and out, and that's just where you find them?
According, like I said, I think it was Tony and had the one guy talking about describing as both. Right? You know, they're wild ones, and then there's I guess, domestic ones in a way.
I guess you could do that. You know, you feed them enough, they're going to stick around that
spot. I mean, if
you're
an 18 foot tall lizard man, you just punch it into submission.
Right. Or that too. Yeah.
Or chain it up like they did with a bunch of snakes in Vietnam.
They chained up snakes?
No, they would, for rat holes, the tunnels in Vietnam.
Yeah.
They would take a venomous snake and they'd nail its tail to the entrance.
Ooh.
So you have a really upset snake. So if a Vietnam soldier, like an American, tried to go in, they get bitten. They call them 12-step snakes. I don't remember the actual species name.
Right, but when you take 12 steps away, you're going to fall. Yeah. Jeez, it's so brutal.
So it could be something like that, you know, or whoever is in the Holobirth, this would be a pretty good guard.
Oh, yeah, just pay them off with cheeseburgers.
Or nail them to the wall.
Same difference at that point. Actually,
they're not going to be happy.
If
hikers or whatever, spelunkers come down, and now there's a 30-foot or 100-foot long dragon nailed to the wall, he's going to eat whoever comes in.
Oh, I would just, how I would train a dragon or whatever. I had one, you know, as a bodyguard, I would just show him all of Bill Gates' history and then tell him anyone that comes to this hole is Bill Gates.
There you go.
And he would probably wreck everything.
Now, my last one. You tried to guess it and you didn't, so the podcast isn't over, everybody. Don't worry.
Tried.
The largest land carnivore ever since the dinosaurs. It's a known animal. Do you have any guesses of what it was?
Land carnivore.
Since the dinosaurs, the biggest one ever.
Hmm.
Dwarfs polar bears, which are the largest living land carnivore now.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm guessing it's got to be some kind of reptile or something.
Yeah.
Giant turtle. No, I don't know. Giant turtle.
I mean, there were some big turtles. We talked about it in the members episode with Tony. There were some big turtles, but they were aquatic.
Ah.
Or semi-aquatic, you know. That doesn't really count.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, like I said, after the dinosaurs.
Yep.
Brian Asuchus? Yeah, Brian Asuchus.
Like the name,
I'll
Brian?
Show you pictures.
I gotta Google it.
The largest terrestrial predator ever since the dinosaurs. Now, remember what I said these creatures look like? There's a picture.
Okay.
They are quadrupedal.
Okay.
Crocodilomorphs,
okay.
Cousins, they're not related. They're not directly related to crocodilians. Their family group has reigned since before the dinosaurs, and they survived the mass extinction and they reigned after.
Okay.
So these were terrestrial crocodile-like beings, but their heads, first off, were shaped like giant, like T-Rex-like heads.
Yeah.
They had osteoderms and corrugated bodies covered in armor. So they even had osteoderms running almost all the way down to their belly.
Okay.
They were heavily armored. They were incredibly fast. They had giant rows of osteoderm spikes going down their back.
Okay.
These guys were massive. So then in the annuals of prehistory, tales of the colossal predators invoke images of towering carnivores ruling ancient landscapes. A lot of people think of T-Rex, Megalodon, creatures like that. However, tucked away in the shadows of giants lies a lesser known but equally formidable predator, Brian Asuchus arvi, with his ferocity rivaling that of any Mesozoic counterpart, so dinosaurs. You could put this guy back into the time of dinosaurs and he would do pretty well.
Be fine.
Well. They're very large.
How the heck do you spell this?
Brian.
Okay.
Sukus.
Okay. Sukus. Help me with that part.
S-U-C-H-U-S.
H-U-S. Okay. There it is.
A true titan in the Cenozoic.
That was hard. Wait. It's not Brian. It's Barina Sukus.
Barina? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. B-A-R-I-N.
Sorry. Barina, so it's Barina's crocodile is what it translates to.
There we go. Barina Sukus.
So this was a massive crocodiliform that roamed the ancient floodplains of South and Central America. And we have, so let's talk about their fossils.
Okay.
We know nothing about these guys besides they were monsters. So we know more about these guys from finding animals they absolutely wrecked.
Okay.
Than we do of their fossils.
Okay.
So a bunch of the giant tapirs and those kind of guys, and we're talking hippo-sized animals, would just have the back of their neck and head crushed from the bites of these guys.
I think you were right. If I would have guessed this,
I know, I would have been.
You would have shut the show down.
So
I never heard of this ever.
They're very like these
ever.
I'll talk about them more. The monsters, right? And so they were after the dinosaurs. Their whole family group is well before the dinosaurs, though. So they've been around since, well before dinosaurs came on the scene. Survived all the way through all the mass extinction of the dinosaurs. Survived the mass extinction of the dinosaurs into the megafaunal mammals. These guys destroyed everything. But when we talk about apex predators, these were the top of the top of the top.
Okay.
So they were extremely rare in their environments.
Hmm.
because there was nothing that held a candle to these things.
Okay.
They were monsters, but they were tall, long-legged crocodiles.
Right, basically,
they could lay down on their belly to rest, but these were what we'd call like the cat-like crocodile, or so not crocodiles, crocodiliforms, or crocodilomorphs, that they were much more like a mammal with their behaviors. Extremely active predators. They would rest and stuff like that. They'd chase down and crush animals.
Mm.
So like I said, we only have like 4 or 5 actual fossilized remains of these guys.
That's nuts.
So we don't know a lot about them. The one we have, the one big one we have is massive, and I'll get to that. They went extinct. We don't really know. We know they, we how we're kind of judging a lot about them is, like I said, the remains of these giant tapirs and bison and other things that they, giant ground sloths that they ripped the arms off of.
Yeah.
So you remember these 20-foot tall giant ground sloths?
Right, yeah.
These are the things murdering them.
Okay. Like, dang, why have we never heard of this before?
Because there's like 5 of them.
Okay, I guess that's why.
They were extremely rare in their environments. And yeah. So, like I said, we have 4 or 5 actual fossils of these guys.
Dang.
A couple heads, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Because it was just bone. Except we more find just these giant crunches and bites out of carcasses.
Okay.
The fossilized carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just see arms ripped off, or the whole, these hippo-sized animals have the whole back of their skull and their whole neck.
Gone.
Like in one bite.
Yeah.
So we think that these guys probably, we don't know a lot about them. They're cousins from the Jurassic and the Cretaceous were kind of similar. They kind of fit a similar niche to like the same ish size. The one got 45 foot long from the Jurassic.
That's crazy.
And was running on land. It would eat dinosaurs.
And we don't know how fast they were either.
They were fast. The way they were designed, their bodies were designed, they're runners.
Dang.
But they had big tails too. So it means Brianna's, or how'd you say it? It's Venezuelan.
Barinasuchus.
Barin, is that?
Barin.
Barin.
B-A-R, Barina.
So it's Venezuelan. It's named after a place in Venezuela.
Mm.
It's a type of mineral found there.
Oh, okay.
So in the fossil beds, there's a type of mineral it's named after.
Mm-hmm.
They've been discovered in Diversio Largo Formation of Argentina as well, in the Empirico Formation of Peru. So we only have 5 or 6 of these guys of this big species, but they're in with these mega mammal fossil beds.
Okay.
So these guys loved eating big mammals.
So, okay.
And they were massive. How big do you think this was? I know
I just kind of saw some artist pictures of them. It looked like they were like 30 foot long.
So it's a heavily argued thing, right?
Okay.
Because we don't know. We have fragmented fossils.
Right, yeah.
So when we talk about their skulls, we know, because we have one good skull of what we assume is an adult.
Okay.
Is over 1 meter long.
That's pretty big.
3 feet. A 3 foot long skull. So keep in mind, that's rivaling modern day crocodiles.
Oh, yeah.
Orcas. You know, there's not many animals that get a skull that's 1 meter long. You get a yardstick out to start measuring.
Right, yeah.
And they're wide. So they kind of look like a crocodile, you know, physically, but not.
Mm-hmm.
They really look like if a crocodile and a bear and a cat had a baby.
That's a strange
the way they behaved, the way they acted. A Borosuchus, which is a cousin from, you know, I think the Cretaceous, was, you know, a running crocodile that would ram the legs out from underneath dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
It was close to this size. So let's talk about, based on the very few fossil remains we have of these guys, and once again, they're apexes, so they just don't, there wasn't a lot of them. So fossils are rare. Apex fossils are even rarer.
Yes.
We have a couple that we... So the lower estimate is 20 feet long and 1,600 pounds.
Okay.
So they're long.
Still big.
And that wouldn't put them as the biggest land carnivore ever.
Right.
So that's the lowest estimate. The main estimate's 26 feet long and 3,000 pounds.
It's a little bit bigger.
That's what most paleontologists believe they were. And that's from a couple skulls comparing it, trying to compare it to cousins that we have more complete skeletons of. Just, you know, trying to base the body off of. The big one is 38 feet long and like 9,000 pounds.
Jeez, that's so big.
And that's, I think it's closer to that. With the prey, some of the prey bites I've seen of these guys.
Yeah.
They would have to have some substantial weight, because what it looks like they would do is run up on prey. They would kind of ambush, think more like a cheetah or a jaguar, or sit and wait until it gets close enough, then.
Then
bum rush.
Pounce on you, yeah.
And would grab things by the back of the neck or the head and just crush.
Crush, yeah.
And they were very fast from their how their bones are designed, how their joints are designed from what we have. And the close cousins we have. We have some smaller cousins we can kind of look at. They just seem like these just immense monsters.
Well, good thing that one farmer dude just got tossed.
And so, and I don't know of all these stories specifically, but of these North American dragons, these big brutes of the ground.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if some of these maybe survived into modern day. They're extremely rare. Mm-hmm. They probably have extremely long life cycles like other reptiles are related to.
Yeah, what if they, what is it called when you go to sleep for the, like broom, not.
Broomate is broomate, reptiles. Yeah. So they could do that. They could feast and famine it.
For like thousands of years.
I don't know about thousands of years.
You never know.
But, you know, I don't know. We don't know how their metabolism works. So some reptiles, modern day reptiles actually have a switch metabolism. So they can either be like mammals and be actively metabolizing foods, or they can switch more like your classic crocodile.
Oh, I was going to say like cave goat.
Yeah, like a cave goat. The reason I do not believe in the theory of evolution.
The cave goat.
What was I saying? Or switch it back to a crocodilian, you know, metabolism, where you just eat once every 6 months.
Right, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Once every year. And you lay at the bottom of the river until it's time to eat again.
Mm-hmm.
So there are reptiles we have today that do that. They can be both.
Okay.
They can switch to a much more active metabolism and then switch back to a much more stagnant metabolism. And I just wonder, I don't know if they are living in the cave systems. These guys have monster arms and legs. Hands, but they had formidable, you know, claws.
Right,
and
yeah.
I just think these guys are some of the dinosaurs. And I think we don't know a lot about them. They don't know a lot about their family. Their family was found in every continent, including Antarctica at one point. The last big surviving one that we have proof of was just South and Central America.
Okay.
And a lot of paleontologists believe that they probably made it into North America.
Probably.
They're just extremely rare.
Right, yeah. And what, most North America was decimated, you know, by Ice Age and glaciers and...
But during the recession, when it started receding back, because, you know, Mexico was scrubland.
Yeah.
They probably followed the line up.
Yeah, probably.
And I don't know. I really think that some of these are these guys.
Fits a lot of the descriptions,
the osteoderms on them are massive, too. That was a big one. Hya Coryotherium Castiodoni was a preferred prey of these guys. So they're a cousin of tapirs that were just like hippos on roids.
Okay.
So that's a size comparison to a human of how big an animal.
Oh, geez, that's big.
Yeah, so it's about 25 foot long, 6,500 kilograms, and I don't know how much that is in American.
Man, and these Barinasuchus was...
Barinasuchus was biting the back of the... Like, look how tall it is. It would get on top and just bite down and crush their spine and skull.
That's
you know how big you have to be to manhandle an animal that big?
That size, yeah. Gigantic.
And there's some suggestions they may have been parental. We don't know. We really don't know a lot. But what we can look at is carcasses look like they've been fed on different individuals at one time.
Okay.
That means that they may be somewhat permitting other animals. Some people go as far to suggest that it may have been parental instinct, killing a big animal and letting their kids come in, or even working with their kids, like we think maybe Tyrannosaurus did, you know, using their kids to kind of push prey towards them.
Yeah.
And then the big guy would come in, the dad or the mom would come in and finish off the rest.
Right. Yeah.
Like juvenile T-Rex probably couldn't actually kill a Hadrosaur, but they could get him running.
Right. Yep.
And so now the Hadrosaur's panic looking behind it where the baby, the juvenile T-Rex is running right into mom.
Right in front of him.
I don't know. I really think these guys, and you could do the time slips. You could do the caves.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You could do all of that. I mean,
as far as them being that.
Yeah.
Reasonings for the people
seeing
them. So
their extinction. I want to talk about their extinction, I guess. We have five of them. We have no idea when they went extinct.
Right.
We have no freaking idea. So this, when it was first found, like late Miocene, they thought that they messed up something. They thought they went too far back.
When they found it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They thought the fossil bed had turned over.
Yeah.
And they were going like Jurassic or Cretaceous.
Okay.
When they pulled this monster.
Skull out.
Because I believe the first one was this giant jaw plate. And it just, because it's not like a crocodilian, even though it is related, and it kind of has crocodilian-like features.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean alligators, crocodiles, caiman. It has dinosaurian features, too, saurian features. It's just, and it has monitor lizard. Like I said, it looks like a whole bunch of different things. They were so dominating of their environment, I do not get how they went extinct. I think there were just very few of them. I think there is still very few of them. We start talking about the monsters in the Bible, or dragons in the Bible, or the dragons of old. These big brutes. So the King James dragon, or wasn't that King James?
King George.
King George, thank you. Talked about this as being a big, wide brute. No wings, never talked about that. It almost talked about like a crocodile that could stand up.
Yeah.
And these guys could hop up on their hind legs for short periods of time.
I imagine too, like you see that though.
That's what it looks like.
A beast, that's a monster.
And so the wing stuff came later.
Yeah.
And when they first, so, you know, they add stuff to drawings to represent things.
Right.
When they first discovered crocodiles, there's one of, I can't remember, like a 1400 or 1300 painting of a crocodile. Not first discovered them. When they were messing with crocodiles.
Okay.
The Europeans were messing with crocodiles in Africa.
Okay.
They put little wings on them. And it was to represent, like, fearfulness. Not that they had wings.
Okay.
They're painting an animal, and they're putting that in there to show that it was fast and it was swift.
Okay.
And it wasn't the big slug that it looks like.
Appears to be, yeah.
So they're extinction. Bryanosuchus. How do you say it? Bryanosuchus?
Bryanosuchus. That's how I read it.
So, like I said, we don't know their extinction. The last, as far as we know, is about 5 million years ago was the last fossil we found.
Mm-hmm.
But with the same frequency throughout the whole, for 40 million years.
We're finding them.
Yeah. Okay. There's one every like 10 million years we find.
Huh.
As far as the fossil record goes.
So there's no definitive line at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, they just stopped finding them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't like, they survived several other megafauna extinctions.
Mm-hmm.
They survived all kinds of stuff. Wildfires that decimated South America. Mm. These guys were, could eat anything.
Let's bring them back, Colossus.
I mean, you imagine just seeing something fight a giant ground sloth and win.
Right, yeah, that'd be nice. And nuts.
Ripping the arm off a giant ground sloth.
Or just seeing an alligator that's, you know, twice as wide, twice as long, but then can stand up twice as long as legs.
Runs 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Fighting a sloth the size of a house.
You could walk under this thing. It's so tall.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah.
And like I said, the size of the spits are all over the place. I'm with a 35-foot long, because a lot of their cousins from the Cretaceous and the Jurassic got that big.
Mm-hmm.
The family is not strange.
It's like a semi
in that big
semi truck with teeth.
A camper.
Yeah.
It's like a camper and an alligator had a baby.
Mm.
Can you imagine seeing this thing fight a polar bear?
Right, that'd be awesome to see.
Probably not for the polar bear.
Well, no.
It'd be bit in half.
Well,
that's the largest land carnivore right now, and the air sub. You know, this sub.
True. Yeah.
Or a tiger. You know, it's a tiger would be underneath this thing.
This is the final boss. You're saying?
Yeah. Of. Since the dinosaurs.
Yeah, the Roman Colosseum land animal fight.
And they think, there's some scientists that think that they made it well far up, because they've been found from both tips of South America.
Mm-hmm.
The whole continent had them. And they were just apexes. And there's some talk that maybe we're confusing actual like baby remains of these guys for other species.
Okay.
We've talked about that actually in South American animals before, that they are confusing like little like cousins that are small. They're just lumping the fossil remains of
one with them.
Yeah, with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a ton of these guys' cousins that lived in South America.
And we don't know how. We can't. You can't like genetically test a fossil. So
yeah. So it just I just love like all this stuff. One of the biology things I use for like some of these prehistoric animals. The so-called age of mammals, which was the Cenozoic, was dominated by a reptile. It was. In birds and reptiles, it wasn't until the very end that mammals, predatory mammals, really took hold.
Right, yeah.
Big herbivores were all mammals.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine this thing fighting a mammoth. Technically, there's a small period of time it could have happened.
Yeah.
Where a mammoth would move just far enough south, and these guys would move just far enough north in North America.
It'd be quite the interaction.
I think it would win if it's a lone mammoth. Because it's just going to outmaneuver the mammoth.
Yeah.
Because it's like a cat.
Right, yeah.
It's 35 feet long.
That's crazy. With alligator mouth.
I would say more like a Rex, like a T-Rex head.
Okay.
Way that the jaws are designed.
Yeah.
Is not like a crocodile. Because these guys had actual teeth that were cut flesh and cut bone.
Right.
Crocodiles are made to hold and spin.
Mm-hmm.
So they have conical teeth.
Right.
Their teeth are blunt.
Right.
And they crunch down. They don't chew. They don't rip.
Right.
They just sit and spin and try to drown. These guys would just crush like a Rex and just bite through. They want to bite through the bone.
Mm-hmm.
They want to just rip
into
shred
you. Yeah.
I don't know. I think some of these sightings from the 1800s, 1700s, maybe these guys.
It fits better than any other animal that, you know, we know about. That, in my opinion, that I know of.
Like I said, what did they eat? I love some of these like sites that talk about what did they eat. And the one funny one was everything.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like nothing. Like what's going to stand up to them? Each other is it. So that's why we talk about the self-governing species. You know, apex predators breed very slow and have very limited numbers and mm-hmm. are very rare in healthy environments.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, you know. Denosuchus was a cousin that lived in North America during the time of the dinosaurs. Roughly the same size as these guys. Almost looked exactly like them.
Okay.
And may have been the same species.
Oh, okay.
They may have rocked the Jurassic, Cretaceous extinction event. They may have been one of the only megafauna to make it through.
If they're living in caves, explain it.
Yeah. So, Smilosuchus is another cousin from the Mesozoic that lived in?
Australia?
Arizona and Texas.
Oh, dang it, I was way off.
It was about half the size, but during the same time as Bryonicus in South America.
Hmm.
And some paleontologists believe it's just juveniles of Bryonicus.
Could be juveniles or just, you know, living in that region, they don't get as big.
Could be. Right, it's the desert.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
the Texas Panhandle is pretty rough. It's pretty desert.
Yeah.
But it proved that there was cousins of them, or at least, you know, some sort of them made it from, and they're still huge.
Right, yeah.
They're just still half the size, big. The biggest living, or the biggest land carnivore since the dinosaurs.
Exactly. It's still big.
Keep in mind, that's like orca-sized.
Yeah.
That's this nuts. Thing was like an orca on land.
With legs and big teeth.
But, I mean, weight and length and, you know, right, it's an orca. And Sarcosuchus, a giant crocodilomorph that resided in the area of the Sahara, so Africa, that lived during, I don't have it here, 112 million years ago. And they got 45 feet long.
Yep.
And eight dinosaurs.
Those were like the big alligators, basically.
Oh, yeah.
They're close to cousin of these guys, too, I'm guessing?
Same family group.
Okay.
The crocodiliforms.
I think those were
not true crocodiles.
Gotcha.
So the group of crocodiles is a very small group now.
Right. It's the modern one
yeah.
that we're living with.
Crocodile, and then, well, there's actually an argument that alligators don't even belong in that.
Mm.
So they may be their own family.
Okay.
They may be a part of one of these ancient lineages, because crocodiliforms ruled the planet, took every habitat from big cat to T-Rex to, you know, whales. You ever seen the paddle jaw crocodile?
I don't think so.
It's an ocean-going crocodile that had a giant filter-feeding mouth.
Dang.
So crocodiles took every niche there for a while.
Just depends what the world gives them.
I mean, they just rolled with it. They don't care.
Exactly.
You imagine seeing it. It's like I said, most scientists believe they got, you know, 30 foot long and 3,800 pounds.
Just seeing it?
That's, you know, size of a hippo just running at you.
I wouldn't want to see
T-Rex
it.
T-Rex head.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see it.
It ate everything. And their scat, they found reptiles, birds, mammals, fish, each other.
Yeah, it's everything. They literally.
And it wasn't a good swimmer.
Okay. So more like a hippo?
No, it didn't go in the water probably at all unless it had to.
Okay.
It was just not, and that's the thing that people always think about these the crocodiliforms. Many of them were completely terrestrial. I mean, they could swim if they had to.
If they had to, yeah. But they're not
they
comfortable.
They don't want to.
Right, exactly. Like a cat.
So I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode about these big brute dragons. And this is probably, like I said, there will be more to come. Bryonicus is a cool animal that I think is responsible for some of these, or at least a cousin of it. I do think the cavern systems are really unexplored. And
there's
dragons in caves, right?
You're right, absolutely.
All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 56.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.